6. This is the Shambles Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully everybody out there is having a fantastic start to your week. I know this weekend past has been slightly crazy around here, but then again, that is nothing out of the ordinary if you've been listening to the show for more than once. We are glad to welcome you here on the 366th episode of the Caffeination Podcast. And yes, we've been using that intro for 99% of the shows, believe it or not. This is being recorded on 9/14/2009. I would like to dedicate this episode to my lovely wife, Jen. She was born today several years ago, and this podcast would not be possible without her. More than anyone who has ever downloaded, promoted, shared, anything else, this woman has contributed to the success of the podcast by allowing me the support to continue this crazy hobby. It takes up a lot of time. And it's not just that, you know, she says, okay, yeah, you can go do whatever you want in the garage or in your lair or in the basement or whatever. It's she actually goes so far as to say, hey, don't you have an episode to record tonight? She's a gentle, urging voice in the back of my head to not only do it, to do it well, and just I'm incredibly, incredibly happy to be able to continue to do this and to have her support through 90% of it. The late nights, much like tonight, she's not overly fond of because they usually lead to sleepy mornings, and nobody really enjoys that. Alright, but all of that aside, it is a great episode here. We're going to be rocking out with a whole bunch of fun stuff that we're going to get to in just a little bit. Did want to make mention that the Caffeination is, of course, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create PodSafe and have agreed to create not just PodSafe, but fantastic content over at techpodcasts.com. It's all educational. It's great. Every once in a while, when I get out of my groove and the things that I usually say, I don't know where I end up. So sorry for that. If you're looking for this particular show and you happen to be wandering around the interwebs, you can find it lovingly nestled along with all of its other little episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com. Caffeination Podcast, same URL. We thought it was kind of work now. All right, if you have been following the saga of the floors here at the Caffeination Lair, not particularly in the lair itself, you know, cave floors really don't need much work, but actually on the main floor of the Caffeination, it's been crazy. I ripped out the carpet sometime last week. Saturday, I sanded all the floors in the dining room down, and I've been putting several coats of sealant on since then. So I think we're up to 7 coats, and I think it's almost right. I have to do one final quick sand and then a nice final coat on, and then it'll be done. And why is all this important? Well, because my wife's birthday party and my son's birthday party is at the end of this week, so I always start huge projects on holidays, and there's always a deadline looming incredibly close. So hopefully everybody, when they come here, is going to enjoy the lovely new room setting that we got going, but it's been more than a little ridiculous to try and cram this much work into a short amount of time. So we're basically living in one room of the house because the wife's painting the kitchen, I'm rocking out on the dining room, and I've ripped the entire one wall of our house apart in the hopes to bring the room to a cohesive vision. So yeah, it's a work in progress. I'll post fun little pictures over at Traveler's Mug at some point. All right, but that's neither here nor there. You came to talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. Today's show is cobbled together from a strange little hodgepodge of Legos, sketches, wireless standards, Google searches, magic wands, and coffee truths. All of this will be revealed in time. We have a bunch of interesting little sessions. We're going to have news and brief, geek cruft, and food and caffeinated bits in that order, and with varying levels of interesting content. Hopefully you find all of them wonderful in there. All right, but before we get all into that, I did want to make mention of the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting allows you to do fascinating things and easily accomplish tasks that were otherwise incredibly time-consuming and expensive. No longer do you have to pay for costly flights from coast to coast. You can set up meetings in seconds with GoToMeeting. It allows you to seamlessly integrate presentations from a host of different offices. You can do product demonstrations, all conducted securely over their voice over IP network. It's a great low-cost solution to be able to condense your workday, to condense the time that you spend traveling to and fro, and actually produce a nice, quick, and easy product demo, whatever you have to do. If you have to collaborate and you need to use your computer, this is the easiest and best way to do it. Its setup takes literal seconds. Once you're up and running, anybody can go there. They don't even have to have the program installed. It makes it incredibly easy to work on anything that you might have coming down the pipe. For your free trial, please head on over to www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That gives you a 30-day free trial. Once again, that's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts to start your free 30-day trial today. I'd like to thank you to GoToMeeting to being a continued sponsor at the Caffeination Podcast. They're allowing us to do all kinds of crazy cool stuff. So, moving right on to the news and brief, how we're going to rock this out is a couple quick stories. All of them are little one-liners or so. I'm going to spend less than hopefully a minute explaining each one after the fact, and then we're going to rock it on to the next bit. GeekCruft, we're going to explain a little bit more, and then when we get into the food and caffeinated bits, I'm going to hopefully satisfy your mind and your gullet. All right, up first, it's official. After 7 long years in the engineering bowels, the 802.11n standard is finalized. For those of you who have no clue what that means, when you buy a laptop, wireless router, or anything else like that, they've always said, oh, wait, we have wireless A, B, and G. You always wondered what happened to C and D and E and F and, you know, all the other fun ones, but they had A, B, and G. So then they had this new standard called N. N was further down the alphabet than G, significantly so, so they decided that, you know, this is going to be the new letter. They spent much time hemming and hawing, and if you bought an 802.11n router, it's always had this strange prefix on it called draft. Well, the international, whatever it is, of engineers got together and they standardized different things. Basically, if something has to have it, then it has to have A, B, C, D. It has to have a whole list of qualifications. Everything has to fall within a certain guideline and specifications. That way, if anything that comes out that says, hey, we are 802.11n compliant, they all follow these guidelines. It's how you make sure that things work together. Up until this point, everything's been a draft standard, which means that it could theoretically change, but it hasn't really changed much in the last, 3 years. So it's now finalized, so you can feel free to go out there and buy all kinds of routers and fun stuff, because you know what? It's finalized, then it works, and anything that says 802.11n from here on out will all work together, which is nice. All right, now the next little thing we have up for you here is it's always fun when you see different news organizations kind of pounce on each other. Facebook actually gets TechCrunch in this. Facebook, the company, TechCrunch, the news source here. Facebook decided to find everybody who had a designation that they worked for TechCrunch. TechCrunch is rather famous for trying to scoop and post news stories quickly. So there's usually a little bit of fact-checking going on, but they try and get the news out as quickly as possible. So everybody who identified themselves as part of TechCrunch noticed a interesting little button under their thing that said fax this photo. Only if you worked at TechCrunch did you see that. So they verified that a whole bunch of them were seeing it, and they actually posted a news story. You know, somewhat derisive, saying, hey, how could you possibly have a fax thing? And Facebook said, yeah, this has been in beta since 1998 or something similar to that. And they had a nice big long laugh at TechCrunch's expense. And you know, all's fair in love and war, and apparently now tech as well. So I just wanted to pass it along. I was kind of stunned to find this, but you too can fix a blown fuse with a chewing gum wrapper. They did an episode on Mythbusters a while ago, and there's a whole bunch of supporting details over at howstuffworks.com. The foil wrappers, so you're not going to fix anything with a stick of Trident, except maybe a little bit of rank breath. But I thought this was kind of fun, and it actually does work. Not that I've tried it here in the lair, because I like my tech the way it is, working. All right, moving right along. The reason I only say that is if you blow a fuse, something's generally wrong or a little bit iffy, so you might want to check the circuits before you go throwing a wrapper around there, MacGyvering your electricity back on. They blow for a reason, people. All right, moving right along. Google goes solar. Apparently, Google is not sufficiently satisfied with the current state of efficiency within solar panels and solar mirrors, so they've gone and hired a whole bunch of green engineers, given them leeway, and say, you know what, you design Google mirrors. So this way they're trying to basically force the industry into actually innovating. They're trying to force a whole new era of design in on the industry, which they feel has been rather stagnant. Now, Google has a long history of actually going their own road. For instance, any server that is actually in the Googleplex, which is not just a number, but it's also a what they consider their bank of servers, is actually a specifically designed Google server. They designed it from the ground up so that it uses as little power as possible to do the maximum amount of work. They're not incredibly the idea behind the Google servers isn't that they don't fail very often. It's not that, you know, they have backups and fail safes. The software handles that on Google's part. So basically you can plug and play all these different servers with absolutely no degradation in quality. The idea is that it's up there there, it's cheap, and it's cool. The most of the money in server farms actually goes to cooling the rooms to the proper temperatures to actually have them work. Don't know if you knew that. All right, moving right along. I think that about wraps it up. Oh, the last little thing we have for you here is a recession iPhone case. It's just a cardboard box that fits around your iPhone. Don't pay too much for these things, folks. You could probably also origami yourselves one up. So I thought I'd pass it along because I thought it was rather interesting. All right, that about does it over here for the news and brief section. We're not necessarily brief, but we are newsy. So we're going into the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast, trying to rock it on through here because it is quite late at night, and I'm pretty sure the crickets are going to start showing up on the mic soon. All right, up first, speaking of mics, we have an article from Mike Rohde from over at rohdesign.com, and he's rather renowned. Not only do I have his Coffee Sketch Tunes calendar, which I love, for 2009. I'm hoping he does a 2010 version. Haven't yet checked out to see if there is going to be one. But he's rather renowned for his sketchnote illustrations of different meetings. So he takes visual notes, and I've always been incredibly impressed by the way he does it. Now he did a how-to so that you too could do your own thing. It's an exercise in attempting to think visually so that if you're in a meeting, rather than doodling or rather than trying to copiously write every single note that was out there, this is a way of kind of capturing the gestalt of whatever the meeting or whatever the presentation was in a rather simple and interesting illustrative form. So Mike has actually done the traditional good tech thing to do and shared his experience with others. He was asked to actually write an article for over at the Association's Now magazine, and they actually allowed him to not only design the cover, he wrote the article, but they allowed him to release the PDF of the article as well, which is fascinating. So it's a visual thinking feature. So it's fantastic. So I just wanted to share with everybody, and it's one of the things that I'm currently reading and hopefully going to try and get a little bit better at, and I hope they don't think I'm doodling in meetings, but you know, I don't go to too many of them right now. I think they're going to start ramping up again. All right, up next, we have an interesting little article sent in by Norbert Davis from over the Totally Cool Tech Podcast at totallycooltech.com, a rotating Lego iPhone dock. Now, this is the only time that I can remember that we've actually had two iPhone articles in the same podcast. I usually tend to steer away from them. There's so many of them out there, I mean, really. But this was rather cool, and it used Legos, and that's almost a guaranteed in here. By the way, if you have any comments or feedback you'd like to submit, you can always fire one off to caffeination@gmail.com. This is exactly what it says it is. It's a way to actually kind of cobble together your own interesting little iPhone dock out of Lego pieces. Now, it kind of tilts to the side, and it's an interesting little way that you can use the clock feature on the iPhone. I like this. I think it's rather cool. The only problem with it is that it's not, it doesn't stand up on its own. You actually have to affix it to the desk. So I'm pretty sure if you were trying to affix it to the desk in your office, you might get a couple little stairs, but if they made the base somewhat more massive, I think it would work out perfectly. So I just wanted to share with the group because I thought that was pretty awesome. All right, next little thing we have up for here, you hear a geek concept explosion. Now you're going to have to wrap your geeky brains around this following statement. There exists on this planet a Star Wars Lego chess set. So that's three different geeks that can all get excited about the same article. I love that. That's the kind of stuff that you like to see. All right. This is interesting. First of all, they used the Lego Star Wars figurines to actually be the white and the black pieces. They built the entire chess set. There's actually a photo set over at Flickr, but there's an entire chess set. I mean, complete with the base built up. The only thing that I think is a little bit poorly done with it is that the pieces don't, like the chess pieces themselves don't actually click into the boards. They've actually used the smooth side of the bricks to get an interesting little derivation on the Lego theme. I like that in one aspect, like, hey, you know, not many people actually do that. Most people just kind of put the little nubbin side up and they just call it a go. But I mean, this is unbelievable. So there's a whole fun little article in Flickr set over there you can actually check into. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is a Disney Expo is asking the attendees to help attempt to build a giant Lego mosaic. Now, I'm as much of a Disney fan as the next guy, except for the fact that they built Marvel, and I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work. But they're trying to build a giant Lego mosaic out of 150,000 Lego bricks. Not quite as big as James May's massive Lego architectural wonder, which I haven't seen if it's completed yet, but I'm going to check it out. But This is pretty cool. This is apparently, I think, the 23rd Disney Expo, the 23rd annual Disney Expo, so it's kind of fun. And most inclinations are that it's actually going to end up being a portrait of Walt Disney himself. So I think it would be even cooler if the little mouse ears that the kids were wearing in some of the pictures were actually made of Lego blocks, and I think that would be kind of fun and cool. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is just called Wild Charge. That's all it's listed as, and I got to tell you, it's pretty neat. The idea is that this is wireless charging. It's a tiny little conducive pad that what you do is you have jackets around different gadgets that you own. For instance, we now have one of these Wild Charge pads for our Wiimotes, and I gotta tell you, it is unbelievable. All you have to do is drop them there. We've tried, I haven't spilled liquid on it yet, but I've, you know, put my hand on there, I've licked my finger and put it across several of the contacts. There is no way for you to shock yourself on this little metallic pad, at least that I've found so far. I'm pretty sure dropping it in a bathtub would produce a toaster style fry up, but this is somewhat different. I like this idea. If I could find a way to actually get jackets for the different remotes that I have laying around the house, I think that would be really cool. Just put a fun little jacket on there, and you know, just all you have to do is rest it on this pad, and it charges wirelessly. It actually has a little bit of a magnetic attraction, sucks onto the thing, and it blinks an interesting little blue LED on a lot of the packs that we have for the Wii. Apparently, you can get the same packs for the Xbox 360, so I'm gonna have to do that as well. I think it's relatively cool. All right, moving right along. Now, for those of you who don't know, Nixies are these interesting little analog vacuum tubes that actually are similar to the LEDs in that they can create numbers. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 0. So I haven't seen alphabetical ones. I've only seen the numeric ones. And people tend to use them for a lot of DIY projects. Now, this is probably one of the most beautiful installations of Nixies that I've seen. A lot of people make clocks out of them, and I think they're really well suited for that. But this is a Nixie concrete clock. So this is a lovely piece of brushed concrete, which, depending on your aesthetic, can either be beautiful or ugly. But this is incredibly well done. It's a very sleek, modern look. And in each one of the positions for the actual clock itself, there's actually a Nixie telling the time. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this would work, because there's six digits there, and I'm not sure which order they go into. I'm not sure if it's like 10, 23, 54, because it's, you know, 1, 2, 5 across the top and 0, 3, 4 across the bottom. So is it 10:23 within 54 seconds when the picture was taken, or is it 12:50 and 34 seconds? I'm not sure. All right, next up here is the Game Boy 80 gigabit hard drive Super Drive. It's a way that somebody's actually basically gutted a Game Boy, and they put kind of like a little film over it so it's not actually showing a game or anything like that, and they put a portable hard drive in it, so that's pretty cool. So I wanted to share it because I thought it was awesome. And then the other little fun thing that they had up there, this is from over at Ogizmo.com, is a Keimer Magic Wand Universal TV Remote. The way that this thing works is on gestures. It's an accelerometer inside, so you can flick up, flick down, rotate left, rotate right to actually do things to your TV. So it would turn the TV on by, I don't know, I guess, you know, stabbing at it. Or if you wanted to turn the volume up, you'd rotate it to the left. You want to turn the volume up, rotate it to the right. The problem with this thing that I see, the huge problem that nobody seems to be talking about, is that what happens if, you know, you put it on the side of the table or something like that, and the cat comes over and knocks it off. All of a sudden, you've changed the channel, turned the volume up, and you might have turned on the stereo at the same point in time. So you have surround sound, you might have turned on picture-in-picture, who knows what else. I mean, it doesn't seem to be very very fail-safe. I mean, buttons are one thing, and you can kind of, you know, it doesn't matter if the thing falls off. Or you have a three-year-old grab the wand and just start going wild, and all of a sudden you're watching channels you didn't even know you had in three different languages. So I've been in a house where somebody accidentally turned on the Spanish language setting, and they couldn't turn it off for about a week. So if they just listened to or watched the TV with the thing small and hoped that there was the closed caption it was on. So this is really cool, but kind of, I think, not quite where it should be yet. Moving right along, we have moving at a pretty good clip today, I gotta tell you. Up next we have the Suction Cup Shower Buddy. This thing looks like Legos, but it's not quite the same thing. And I'm not really fond of reporting on gadgets that exist in the shower, because there's always some kind of weirdness that goes on with that. And, you know, I'm never going to write a review on that just because I don't want to end up taking the pictures. So, just depending on how you think, this is actually pretty cool. I like this idea. This is a really neat idea. What this is a pad that has adhesive on the back of one side, and on the other side, in Lego block style, it actually has suction cups. So you put the pad on the shower wall, and you know, when it's dry and the adhesive sets and everything, and then whatever you want to actually attach to the pad suction cups itself. And being that suction cups work much better when they're wet, the shower is the perfect place to use this thing. And it's not like you have to affix any kind of special jackets or anything to your shampoo bottles or any other slippery items. You can just throw them up there and they stick. Now, if the pad was a little bit bigger, I could see it working out a lot better, but this is really, really cool, and I just wanted to pass it along to people. All right, and the second-to-last little thing that we have for you here is energy use and time all together in the same spiffy little gadget. Now, this isn't quite as geeky as the Nixie clock, but this is an interesting little LED or liquid crystal display or something kind of like clock like that. This is a design concept, and it goes around and it attaches to your energy meter in your house. So it's a standard clock, except the length of the actual hands shows the energy usage at those times, and it leaves kind of a phantom image over the past couple days, so that you can tell that, you know, at 6 o'clock that's when most people wake up or something like that, and you see the energy use spike, or, you know, later on in the day that's when the energy use spike. So it's kind of like a little bit of a tattletale, and it shows you exactly how much the energy use has been going on over the past little while. This is a fascinating idea, and I think it's pretty cool. The installation they have actually shows you a whole bunch of different little aspects of your day and what the clock's actually representing. So I think it's pretty fun. Alright, that about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft section. We have food and caffeinated bits, and then we'll send you out on your way. I told you this is going to be a relatively speedy episode. It's quite late in the evening. Alright, food and caffeinated bits. Birthday bomb candles. I really wish I had seen these sooner, or my wife would have them. But they're simply little candles. They're not the relighting little ones, but they're either the stereotypical comic bombs, they would say kaboom on them, the little round bombs you see from Boris Badenov, or they're, you know, regular red candles that just say dynamite on them. I thought they were pretty fun, and for a whole pack of them, it's only $10. So if you're interested in novelty candles, I thought they were kind of fun to sit there and play with. Another thing that we have up for you here is spice up your life with a magnetic under cabinet spice rack. I love this. I enjoy our spice rack. It's a nice little rotating one, but it's hard to read because it's shoved into a corner. So all you have to do here is exactly what it says. You put a little bit of a metal thing on the underside of your cabinet, and you can just affix the spice tubes to the bottom thing, because the lid's actually magnetic. This is perfect because they're out of the way. Unless you have those little clip-on lights under your cabinet, it's an easy way, because you can, if you really want to have, you know, a nice clean kitchen or something like that, you can shove them all the way out of the way, completely under the cabinet. If you want to, you can clean them all off if you're having a party and you don't want people to see your tarragon or something like that. But I thought that was really kind of fascinating, because I hadn't seen something like that yet. And it's interesting to see, and it's only $30. I can't exactly... sorry, it's a set of 14 of them for $30. Each one of them is 3 inches tall by 2 inches in diameter. So it's kind of fun and kind of cool. Alright, now next little thing we have up for you here. I've had a couple people ask me questions because they've seen in Starbucks and a couple other places aged coffee. Now, what is aged coffee, and does coffee age like wine? Now, first of all, wine... scotch, anything like that, that has to distill. The longer that it distills, you're actually increasing, you know, the process that goes through to creating. So it's after the beverage is already processed, that's when they age it. So, you know, the older it gets, you know, like a fine wine, it gets better, supposedly. This is not the case with coffee. Coffee is aged before it is roasted, so you age green coffee, and there's only very specific areas in which they actually do this. Most of them is either in Sumatra or in, I think, Singapore and a couple other places like that, and there's different ways in which you can actually do it. And what I did here was I linked up to one article which is talking about it and saying basically it's a buzzword that a lot of the newer and larger places like Starbucks are actually using. Hey, this is aged, and everybody knows that aged stuff is good. The other thing is I linked up to the dictionary over at Sweet Maria's, and I'm just going to read from you a little bit. It says, Strictly speaking, aged coffee is defective coffee, but is sought after as it can impart a special pungency, especially to espresso drinks. So aged coffee is not the same as old coffee. It's not baggy or flat, doesn't have a moldy or mildewy taste. It's interesting because when coffee prices are high, you get less of it because people want to sell it right away. They don't want to let it sit around. Aged coffee can be anywhere from 2 to 3 years old, and the idea behind it is that it's kept at a certain way, and it tends to produce rather wild and strange and spicy flavors that aren't always predictable. So you have to actually, do frequent cuppings as you're aging it, I would guess, to make sure that you actually have a good batch of coffee and you're not just, mildewing and rotting something out. So I thought it was pretty fun, and I wanted to kind of, put it out there. And after they're actually aged, then they're roasted. And you just want to kind of repeat that point. So it may be a good thing, it may not, because there's not really one kind of uniform aging process that goes on. So I just wanted to kind of share it out. It's also called monsooned coffee, for those of you who have ever heard that term. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is water your pets. It's an interesting little the irrigation device that sits outside your house attached to your hose bib. Yes, I now know that it's called a hose bib because I had to replace it in this house. I think at the beginning of this summer or the end of last, I can't remember, but it started spraying all over the place. Hose bib, good word to know. Floor flange, good word to know as well. Alright, that's the little ring that sits around the drain as it goes into the floor. I know that one from my father. Alright, funny words aside, this is an interesting little thing. It's called a water dog automatic pet fountain. Now, I'm pretty sure I could use this with the cats as well, but it attaches to the hose bib, and when animals come within a certain distance of the thing, it can sense them, and it turns on this tiny little flow of water. When they walk away, it turns off. That's fascinating and unbelievable. I need that for my cat, because my cat bothers you whenever you're in the bathroom. Alright, now the second to last little thing we have for you here today is a shotgun drink dispenser. This is a fun little water gun that dispenses alcoholic beverages at 25 milliliters a shot. So, you pump it up, you let it go, it's probably going to be good for some frat parties somewhere. Alright, and then the last little thing, I've been trying to work on this, I'm not a snob, I just want people to use the proper terminology, and I think advertising agencies, more than anything, really need to kind of drill down and start using the proper terminology when they're talking about cappuccinos. If you are selling a cappuccino and it is basically just strong coffee and milk, it's a latte at the very least. It's not a cafe au lait, that's with steamed milk. It's not a cafe con leche, I mean that's with hot milk. If you're just serving a coffee with milk, that's all it is. It doesn't matter if it's espresso with milk, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not a cappuccino. Cappuccino is a very specific drink. Cappuccino is a shot of espresso with foamed milk. That's it. It's steam milk foam. So that's all it is. So you should see, unless you're doing a stylized version, you should see a bright white foam clob in the center with a lovely brown ring around it. There's societies dedicated to creating proper cappuccinos. And I think a lot of people, they either get the powdered variety, and it's a similar taste, but it has none of the experience. It has none of the really good qualities. It's like almost exactly unlike what a cappuccino should be. I've had this discussion with a couple people recently. I just wanted to kind of bring it to the forefront and realize that, you don't have to just subscribe to what people are saying. You should look at it and say, okay, is this actually a cappuccino? And you just act accordingly from there. And there's been a couple people recently who I know are going to be coming over to my house shortly, and it's like, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You can have a cappuccino from Starbucks or wherever else you want, and I will make you a real, true cappuccino when you get here, and you tell me which one tastes better, and you tell me which one you think has the better quality overall. So we're just going to I'll get back to you with that taste test. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast. One final little thing I'd like to mention, though, is feel free to contribute. If you have any interesting ideas, articles, reviews, anything you want to write up and send in, please feel free to fire them off to caffeination@gmail.com, and I will send a link back to your layer as thanks for it. We're trying to expand the repertoire of people who are interested in actually posting on the site, hopefully getting some interesting and different viewpoints that are up there. So if you have a voice and you'd like to attempt to share it, please feel free to do so. Other than that, this episode and all the other friends are lovingly located over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for those of you who are hard of spelling like myself. All right, caffeination@gmail.com, and comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anything else podcast you'd like to throw my general direction. And last but most certainly not least, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows over at techpodcasts.com. All right, I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.